Hey, Wealth Society, I want to bring someone really special to you guys. This is Carol Look. She is an author. She's a founder in EFT, which, Carol, that is the initials for the tapping, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Which I experienced earlier today and was an eye-opening. It was an experience that I would recommend. It's eye-opening. Anything that has to do with self-development, I'm all in. She has a book that, when did that actually come out? It's
just a few months ago, October, the Yes Code.
Yeah, there it is right there. So I wanted to kind of just update everybody. There's so much that's directly correlated to money. And I know you're a business coach, but we're doing, you know, a ton of income strategies and credit and asset classes and taxes and stuff like that. But I can't tell you how happy I am, because I think it's imperative that you're here, because mindset and being able to self-examine and being able to handle the stress of whatever your pivot is at the moment. You might be jumping out of your W-2 job into your first, house flips, entrepreneurial experience, whatever it is. And it can be scary. It can be stressful. But if you know how to handle yourself and how to be self-aware, and also know how to reach out for support with someone that is as good and has as much expertise as Carol does, I would highly recommend it. And if I recall, you actually have some board certifications as well. Is that correct?
I am a traditional psychotherapist, a licensed social worker. I have a doctoral degree in clinical hypnosis, which doesn't really mean that much. And then I'm a founding EFT master under the founder of tapping.
Yeah. Amazing.
A lot of experience, a lot of years of working with people all over the world.
Yeah. And so I think it's really important for us as entrepreneurs, as business owners, as real estate professionals to be aware that we need to take good care of ourselves, and be aware that society kind of dictates that it's okay to go, 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 and more is always better. And how little can you sleep? Are you like all the stuff that, as we spoke earlier, because you guys, Carol did a session with me and it was awesome. It was eye-opening. It was something that you, not only your brain is stimulated, but your body is stimulated. Once again, highly, highly recommended. But speak into, I know that you've helped a lot of business owners. You've helped a lot of professional athletes. Tell me some of your wins as far as why you know what you do is so important and why it works.
Well, first of all, just to back up, I was in trouble myself years ago, overworking, terrible insomnia, weight up and down and up and down the yo-yo scale, right? And I had to just get my hands around and head around taking care of myself and not believing that working harder is always the best thing to do. So even as a psychotherapist and coach, what I was doing, the hours I was doing and traveling all over the world, it just wasn't good for me, right? So I had to back into it myself. I'm always my first guinea pig. So I worked on the money piece, I worked on the mindset piece, and I worked on the self-care piece. So very, very important. But what I help people with is I say, your results are fueled by your emotions, your beliefs, and your behavior. People are like, no, it's just the behavior, because if you procrastinate, you'll get different results. No, your behavior is led by your feelings, your emotions, and your beliefs. So that's the main work I do. And sure enough, they get results. So people with income, incredible income results, quit smoking. People who still believe, as you and I talked about this morning, they still believe that working harder is the only way to make dramatic income shifts. And it's not. And in fact, when you're calmer and less stressed out, what happens is you get resourceful. You start thinking of new ideas. Your brain comes back online. Under stress and duress, we are not at our best. Right.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, as we spoke earlier, it can be counterintuitive because I've done amazing things under stress and deadline, and you're patting yourself on your back. But was I patting myself on the back because I hit the deadline, or had I actually fulfilled my potential? Because if my right brain would have been switched on, what would have been possible? What deals, what angles may I, you know, could I have been aware of if I wasn't under the pressure and under the stress? Are we doing our best work under these huge loads? Probably not.
So I see people buying enormous marketing programs and all these things on the internet, and their beliefs and their feelings still get in the way. And that's my work, is to say, wait a minute, if you're relaxed, you'll have more access to what you know. If you're relaxed, it doesn't matter what programs you buy, you'll end up being a lot smarter in whatever business you're in. And, you know, in the business world, people are very wed to, work harder and work more hours and work later and show your face at the office, or even if you're an entrepreneur, show your face. And we've got to get out of that mindset first. And one of the things that happened to me when I was doing the tapping work, and tapping is tapping on acupuncture points, and it calms down your fight or flight response. And if your fight or flight response gets triggered when someone says, do you want to be more successful? If you have a fear of success, you can't get there. Now, everybody talks about fear of failure. Oh, that's the big one. It is a big one. And fear of success, I have found, is bigger. So I was adding up my income 2 years, 1 year, and giving the numbers to my accountant. And I found out that I had made the exact same money that I did the year before. Steve, that is impossible when you're in private practice as a coach and an entrepreneur and a psychotherapist. You can't do that.
So you hit that glass ceiling to the penny.
I hit the ceiling. And I never knew why, because I didn't know my father's salary. So I didn't understand, I didn't know if I was blocking it for that. But what I found is once I knew and could ask the right question, what's going on? Right? What's the downside of being more successful? Boom, 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 boom. Everything started to change, and double, triple, quadruple, et cetera, my income. But I didn't know I had a comfort zone until I did that little exercise. Oh, it's March and it's time to get my accountant my numbers. I didn't know I had a comfort zone. And a lot of people are working so hard and they're not aware that they're afraid of success. What are you afraid of? Standing out, being visible, being the object of someone's envy or ridicule. That's what we're afraid of, is being out there and being exposed. And some people even say, actually, I'm afraid of, once I'm successful, how do I keep that going? So there are a lot of reasons. But in business, people aren't asking those questions. They're just saying, get the project done, work harder, get more clients. And if you can work on the feelings and the beliefs and the behaviors, like your procrastination and perfectionism, et cetera, your results will go double, triple, quadruple, off the charts. And I had to be my own first person that I worked on to work with that. But it's just super important to get inside your emotional world and your belief world. If you want here's what I said to people, you want things to change? Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's what you're going to have to do. Deal with your emotions and deal with your beliefs. And if you're ready to do that, they say, yes, but I have an MBA. And it's like, doesn't matter. Yeah, but I went to law school. Doesn't matter. Yeah, but I took every real estate course. Doesn't matter. You'll bump into your own blocks that keep a lid on, that keep a hat on you, keep a lid on you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. I always fall back on that. And I know I'm reiterating, but, if you believe you're going to succeed, you're right. If you believe you're going to fail, you're right. My dad preached that. I didn't understand it at the level that I understand it now, because, we're dumb kids and we don't always listen to our parents at the level that we should when they're passing down those, the real nuggets of knowledge. But it's interesting. Those limiting beliefs are incredibly powerful. And for me anyways, and I'm sure you've seen this in your practice, you let me know, until we really learn to accept feedback from others and to self-examine, it's probably a combination. I mean, for me, I think it's a combination thereof, because my self-perception, I know, is wrong. It is, because we lie to ourselves.
Right.
But as we accept feedback and get more self-aware, we can start to fix those limiting beliefs. Does that kind of land as far as where you're at as well? Because I could easily be off base.
No, totally on base. But let me say something about beliefs from a psychology point of view. And I know that you're interviews and everything are about business, but from a psychological point of view, beliefs are compulsive. What does that mean? It means you can't stop them once they get started. The train has left the station. So if you feel unworthy because of something that happened when you were a child, if you have low self-esteem, if you're convinced, oh, people from my family never get that far, if you're convinced, you know, people like you aren't supposed to be wealthy, that's what you're talking about, is the self fulfilling prophecy. So if you can swap your beliefs, everything changes. And what happens is people say, oh, great idea. And they don't stick with it. They don't have a tool like tapping to help them with it. They come up with a new belief. I am worthy. You know, I'm blessed with unlimited abundance, one of those, you know. And then they don't stick with it. And then they wonder why it doesn't work. If your belief and perception of yourself changes, it can't help but roll out, you know, continue to roll out in front of you. And that's the psychological work that people in business must do if they want different results. That's what I say. You want different results? Feelings and beliefs. Let me give you an example of a feeling. If someone feels guilty for the success they already have, guilt loves punishment. And what they will do is sabotage themselves in weird, strange ways. You'd be surprised, you know, and they start procrastinating and start getting in their own way. If they have that guilt about, you know, let's say someone says, oh, I'm already successful enough, why should I want more? Well, that's what happens, right? If you have a fear of being visible, if your brain says being visible is unsafe, you can't be visible. So you'll not send the email back in time. You won't get the billing out to your client in time. You actually won't take the right course. Something will happen for you to put a lid on yourself and say, what? That's dangerous. But people aren't asking the questions. They're just like, oh, they're just going harder, 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 more coaching, more coaching. And you really need to ask. So my favorite question, Steve, what's the upside of staying stuck? So anybody listening, if you're stuck anywhere, what's the upside? How could it possibly serve you to be stuck, right? And what's the downside of reaching your goals? And of course, people say, don't be silly, Carol. I want to.
You're going to use logic on us?
Right. Don't be silly. Of course, I want to reach my goals. Why do you think I'm doing all this work? Well, you wouldn't bump into yourself and sabotage yourself if you didn't have a good reason to want to get in your own way. And it's just good. You know, what we do, Steve, is we get mad at ourselves for procrastination, perfectionism, getting in our own way, being late. We get mad at ourselves and that does nothing. Doesn't do any good. You can keep doing it if you want, but it doesn't do any good. If you want to find out why you're getting in your own way, ask yourself the questions. The upside of being stuck, you know, it could be in a comfort zone, an income zone, a relationship zone, and the downside of reaching your goals. And once you get the answers to that, things start to shift very, very quickly.
That's interesting. I like that. And it's you just on face value, you know it's the truth when you hear it. Yeah.
You know it's the truth. And like you were saying, your father taught you, if you think you can or can't, you are going to be right. And that's because beliefs run the show. And I think our culture, Steve, is kind of obsessed with the behavior. Clean up the clutter, go to the gym, stop procrastinating, organize your paperwork, take another course. We can't, that's how we were raised, right? But if we could get underneath that and say, wait a minute, what's more important than the behavior? The behavior is, of course, important, but it's going to change when you change your emotions and change your beliefs. And that's how you're going to get these results that people say, what did you do? I didn't do anything. I helped you use a tapping technique to calm down your fight or flight response to get out of a stress response, which means you're not as bright as you think you are in the stress. You know, you can't, you just aren't resourceful. So they'll say, what did you do? Well, I led you through some exercises to help you get to the truth, the feeling or the belief. And now you're on your way. It's such, you know, Steve, like your work. It is such fun work to do, right?
Yeah.
Such a great place to be.
Yeah. So we've kind of talked about the what. On the how, can you kind of speak into like what that looks like when you, let's say you have a high level individual come to you. How's that unfold? How do you know what, especially with all the tools in your box, how do you know what direction, how do you serve them at the highest level? What's that look like?
Great question. So someone comes to me for a reason and I say, hey, what's your interest? What are you doing here? How can I help you? And I say, I just can't get over this income level. You know, I make so much money, but apparently I'm stuck. And then I'll ask the questions. What's the upside of being stuck? There's no upside. I'm coming to you. There's no upside. There is an upside or else you wouldn't do it. Oh, right. What's the downside of reaching that goal that you've had for years? I want to be, you know, have this much income, this much wealth or whatever. And then what I do, you know, through talking and coaching and this tapping, you can unpack and really collapse these beliefs that have such a deep structure. You know, people say, oh, no, I can change my beliefs very quickly. Well, you can if you know what the original belief is. My father told me I wasn't good enough or whatever. Or they were doing something in high school or university and they got in trouble or they got ridiculed for being successful, right? For a lot of past events that get in our way. So I'll talk to them, ask them the questions, and then say, so here's what it looks like. It looks like the feelings aren't a problem, but this belief is the number one thing that you need to change. Oh, okay, how do I change that? And then we'll do the tapping, right? To calm down the response. So again, if you have a stress response about being successful, 90% of the people don't know it. What do you mean? I just want to be successful. You don't know that something's happening in your physiology to say, warning sign, danger, don't go there. The behavior shows it. And when people say, how do I know if I have a block? Take a look at your results. That's how you know. That's how you measure. Oh, my results are not what I've had the same results for 3 years and I'm tired of it and I'm bored and I want to do something else. Then you've got to get to that bottom line and say, what's the belief? What's the feeling? And maybe there's several feelings, right? Impatience, right? Impatience is a big one. People feel impatient and they don't understand what it does, how it restricts the nervous system. And if your nervous system is upset, restricted, and hypervigilant, you will not get the opportunities that you think you deserve.
Yeah.
I'm going all over the place, but I think
No. It's that's kind of there's so many things that are interwoven. We get to speak into all the pieces, or there's gonna be missing pieces. So it's perfectly fine. It's tracking.
Yes. So just everybody, if they could remember that their results come from feelings, beliefs, and their behavior, and the behavior is like sabotage. Right. Get to the feelings and the beliefs, you will knock, the roof will blow off.
Yeah.
And that might scare you. So that's what happened to me when I was kind of doing the layers and up-leveling, and when I do it with executives and with people who own their own businesses, they make a breakthrough, and then they say, ooh, that's kind of scary. Yeah, because you just hit another breakthrough and another level. You just hit something that you've been afraid of, but you didn't know it.
Right.
So every layer, you know, it doesn't matter how much you earn. Everybody has a comfort zone and afraid to go above that number.
Yeah. So I'm interested in a little bit of the history. Like as a founder, where did it come from? How did you really hone in how to facilitate? Walk me through that, because I'm really curious about that.
I'm not a founder of EFT. I'm a founding EFT master, designated that by the head founder, who was Gary Lang, who created emotional freedom techniques, tapping on acupuncture points to calm down the system so that you can make changes in your behavior and move forward. So I took the classes years ago and got totally excited because I started changing things on myself. The first thing I healed on myself was insomnia. Can you imagine how more present I was and focused at work? I had terrible insomnia. And that went away with the tapping. I thought, well, that's weird. I kept going to workshops with Gary. I was, you know, I helped him. I taught with him, would do different workshops and be a helper at the workshops. And it was just phenomenal. What happened year after year, week after week, was just so incredible. And again, I was my own guinea pig, so I was making changes in myself at the same time as watching all these people in workshops and then having clients from all over the world make dramatic changes. And that's, you know, that was sort of the history of tappings. There was another form of tapping before that. The main one that's the simplest is EFT, emotional freedom techniques, where you tap on all the acupuncture points while you're focused on an issue. So I say to people, it's like in a computer. If I needed to send you a Word document, I'd have to pull up the file, make some edits, save it, and send it to you. And that's what we're doing. We're pulling up the file. Let's say someone says, I'm afraid to be visible because I have this history about being visible. Okay, pull up the file. We use the tapping and that calms it down and eradicates it. And then they're like, and their behavior starts to change and their results start to change. So that's the history. EFT tapping has been around for a lot longer than we have, but it just gained popularity in the last couple of decades. It's really been growing and moving. And it's growing and moving because it helps people lose weight, quit smoking, become more financially successful, helps in reactivity in relationships, helps with your kids. It's great for children. They have school programs, right? There's not an area in our lives that couldn't be helped with really good tapping, really good EFT. Everyone just calls it tapping now, but every area of your life. So people say, well, what about pain relief? Yeah, does pain relief get in the way of your success in business? Yes, it does. And it's excellent for pain relief. What about if I have a comfort zone and I'm afraid? Yes, it works for that too. So, and the reason it works for everything is because we're dealing with the brain chemistry. We're dealing with a fight or flight response, which everybody has. Whenever you're afraid, whoop, the brain goes on. Right. And looks for danger and says, oh, I can't do that. Oh, I shouldn't do that. Right. So everything's involved in that. And some people will say, well, how come you can use it for weight loss and pain and success issues, financial issues? Because your brain and your nervous system is involved in all of the above.
Yeah. 100%. There's interwoven qualities across the board there. Now, like with my session, the spoken word was really powerful. The tapping was, it, you know, I like acupuncture. I like acupressure. So it's not like I was denying, but it was more of a, I'm trying to figure out how those actually go hand in hand, like why it works. And I guess to kind of the thread I was on there with the pain, what's the spoken word look like compared to addressing limiting beliefs or worth or I'm working too hard or, you know, all those other things?
Well, the best targets for tapping are emotions, beliefs, symptoms, or the memory of a past event. So if you were criticized when you were successful before, or some people were jealous of you because you were a great athlete, that's what you pinpoint, right? So the spoken word is about focus. So you don't want the person watching TV and not paying attention and doing a little tap, tap, tap. You want to be in it because of what I said about bring up the file that's causing you conflict and while it's open and up, that's when you apply the tapping. And the words are very important. You don't have to be perfect with the words, but it's really nice to have someone help you or learn how to do it enough yourself so that you're really on target, right? So you don't want to just say, oh, I have low self-esteem, tap, tap, tap. why do you have low self-esteem? What do you mean? Well, because my father told me, or my mother told me, or the coach told me I'd never be good enough. Something has taught you to devalue yourself. And all these people striving and striving and striving, some of it comes from a low self-esteem rather than a true desire to really serve, right? So you want to get the feelings or the beliefs up, opened, and that's when the language, that's how you combine that, the tapping with the language.
Yeah. Got it. Understood. So especially with athletes, and actually, honestly, with high-level executives as well, how do you deal with the ego to get down into the truth of what's going on? Because society has trained us to be like, nothing's wrong. I'm okay. You know, I can handle the fire.
Yes. Great question. So I don't talk about the ego. I have a person in my office or on Zoom and I say, what do you need help with? And everything, they're like, Carol, I'm desperate. You know, I really need to play golf better. You know, I really need to do this better. I really need to make more money. And while we're talking, the ego kind of, you know, dilutes a little. I mean, never dilutes, but it goes into the background because they really want help. People don't come to me if they don't want help, right? They really want help. And I'm gentle and I ask the questions. Well, how might it serve you? Why do you think it might be a good idea to be stuck in this one area of your life? Ooh. Never thought about it that way. These are not new questions, but they're new for breaking up the sabotage and the belief problems that we all have.
Yeah.
So the ego, you know, the ego is there for a reason, right? Sit on it, right? Let it, people say, just, you know, sit on it, keep it, you know, well-placed, and then really go to the truth. Because your question is great, because the truth is our emotional life and our belief life. Emotions and beliefs run our behavior, which then produces our results. You want to get to the truth? And, you know, it's fun to work with high-powered executives who don't know feelings. They do not work with feelings, right? They don't want to work with feelings. They don't want to tell you they're scared. They don't want to tell you they're hurt. They don't want to tell you they're, you know, not, you know, full speed ahead all the time. So just gently talk about the feelings. What do you think that might be? And then they get it. And as you said earlier, when you hear the truth, boom, right? You know it.
Yeah.
And there's no question. There's no question. So when people say, I've been in my own way for years or months, and what you just said turned something for me. And I think that is right, that turn of phrase, or, you know, the tapping on it, or I think that's what has been in my way. Then everything changes. If you don't know what's in your way, you'll keep pushing, right? You know this, when they talk about golfers a lot this way, they don't need more practice. They do not need to be on the driving range for 3 more hours tomorrow. They are trained within an inch of their lives. What they need is the head game.
Yeah.
Players, soccer players, you know, athletes of all kind, and athletes in business, high-powered financial athletes. They don't need more practice. They need to get out of their own way, be centered, be clear. I'm a big one for clarity, and then make decisions. You know, make a decision, make a yes. Not because you want it, not because your colleague wants it, not because somebody else thinks it's a good idea, because you know in your heart of hearts what's right for you.
Yeah. And that's a great point, because I can look back a couple times in my life when I was in the pressure cooker. I made a decision, and then looking back, I'm like, oh man, there was 3 other options that I didn't, like, why did I not see those? And good, bad, or other, it doesn't matter, but I didn't see them. And so not being stressed, there's so many, to your point earlier, there's so many other things that can bubble up and create options or hybrids or opportunities that under pressure, if we're making the scared decision as opposed to the cool, calm, collected decision, those are very different individuals that are operating.
Yes. Well, think of our society again, you know, really pushing us and asking us to be go, 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 instead of trusting our intuition. So one of the things that started to happen when I started using the tapping was my intuition came back online. And it was like, oh, oh, I know what the right answer is for me. I don't tell other people, but for me, I know what I'm supposed to be doing here. And that's going to rock the boat, Steve. Mm. Somebody in my life isn't going to like it. But when you're totally connected to your intuition, you deal with your reactions about their reactions. And you say, yep, my colleague may not like that. Yep, my friend, my sibling, my spouse may not like that. But it's the best thing for me. And I'm doing it from a good place, a good come from. Right.
Yeah.
So when you
I call it the gut.
Yes. Yes.
My wife has a company where she serves women at a really high level. And every once in a while I'll jump in and do like the man's perspective. But that is so incredibly useful to just ask people, what's your gut tell you? And even on financial decisions or partnerships, I knew that could probably make a lot of money. There was a big upside. And I was like, something's not right. And, you know, I don't want to get too woo-woo, but we get to listen to that. Because what'll happen is, you know, a year later, in retrospect, to be like, oh man, I knew it. And I just didn't listen because of greed or speed or fear, like whatever the case is. Even, you know, people talk about FOMO, that fear, you know, especially when it comes to money. Oh, I should have done that deal. Well, maybe you should listen to your gut.
Well, you can waste a lot of money not listening to your gut, as I know, because a long time ago, I signed a contract on an airplane. I'd done a workshop outside of Paris, and I was in a hurry and wanted to sign this contract. The worst decision. Right now, it was financial. It didn't hurt me personally, but financially, it hurt me.
Yeah.
That they did a terrible job. They didn't follow up. They charged me for it anyway, because I was in a hurry. I was not listening to my gut. And when you get your gut online, and you're following your emotions, you're saying, no, wait a minute, that guilt is really bad, or that impatience, or that fear is surprisingly high. Oh, let's just turn it into excitement. It's not excitement, it's fear. And you have a reason. You were taught this. You were taught something. So if you put all those together, you're a different human. You're a different human being with different thoughts, feelings, directions, goals, and you really get centered. You get present and centered, and you know what you're supposed to do. Personally and professionally, you said, you know, in finances or partnerships, especially in finances and partnership, that is what's missing from a lot of the business deals going on, right? Looks good on paper, Steve. Look at the numbers. Like, no, start listening to your gut.
Yeah, there's an emotional side to that for sure. And I think if we tune back into that on business deals, it'll serve us at a high level.
I know it as I help people with that, because again, I made mistakes, lots of them. So I can help people say, well, what does that feel like to you? Is that a yes or a no, or a maybe? A maybe is a no for now. Don't sign anything if you feel maybe.
Yeah.
If you feel close, nope, close is not something to sign.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun working with that. And one of the things you can use with the tapping, and not if you don't have to do tapping if you don't like it, that's fine. But you get the noise out of the way. And then you come back online. That's your intuition, knowing your gut, your inner wisdom comes back online when all that monkey mind and noise is gone. And that's what happened when I started doing it.
Of all the tools in your chest, is the tapping your favorite?
Favorite. And as I say, highest level of training in hypnosis, highest level as a psychotherapist, you know, a licensed social worker in New York State. And other tool, I have been around for a long time, practiced with other tools, learned other tools, paid for the workshops for other tools. Hands down, tapping is the best tool in my hands. And I've seen it now for 25, 30 years. So I know it. Now I have, you know, before I was hopeful and was excited. Now it's like, there's no question. No question. You're gonna make changes, change your energy.
Yeah.
Change your stress levels.
Do you see a big difference between working with men and women, or does it feel same as far as the way that you facilitate?
The way I facilitate is the same, but women have certain ways of talking and processing, and men have certain ways of compartmentalizing and steering some men, not all, steering away from some of the emotional content, right? So the way I work with them is the same, asking the questions, really listening deeply, understanding what their version of the problem is. Never my version of the problem. It's what are they telling me? What are they coming to me for? What do they really think is the issue?
Yeah. And that's where the answer is, because the truth will bubble up.
The truth always bubbles up.
Yeah. Nice. All right. If there's one thing that, like, as far as advice to all the listeners, to making sure that they get, emotional support, mental support, is there a piece of advice that you could give them that is, you know, solid, it's a good narrative, it's easy to understand, as far as making sure they take care of themselves as we go off and do these crazy, you know, ventures and entrepreneurial experiences and, you know, whatever it is.
Have a good system of self-care. So I meditate every day. I do tapping every day. Even if I've done a whole 3-day workshop and I've tapped all day, I have to do my own personal tapping. And I do some kind of speed walking exercise. Those are my three. I used to do Qigong. I don't keep up with that. So you've got to have a system that rain or shine, you'll follow. You also need a system of people in your pocket. So you need counselors, you need friends, you need coaches, you need colleagues, you need peers that are willing to say, I think this is off. I think this would be good for you. I think you were kind of overreactive in the business meeting today. What's going on? You know, I support you in this, right? You want to have people in your life. You can't, we do not do it alone. We don't do it well alone. So self-care tools and support of people who get you, know you, and can tell you the truth, can mirror back to you. I don't know why you're signing that deal. It doesn't really seem like it's the direction you're going. You know, help me out here. You know. So self-care tools and people tools.
Yeah. And people that you truly know want the best for you.
Yes. Yes.
Because they're...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because especially as you get more successful, those people can change. And I, you know, from firsthand experience and, friends and family, money can change things. Success can change things. So just be aware of, you know, how to evaluate what you're being told and who has truly your best interests in mind.
People react to money and success. They also react to failure, right? But they react when their peers or people they know or in their field start leapfrogging over them, right? And doing better, right? It's not, jealousy is not a good thing. People do not get direct about jealousy. They don't say, oh, wow, Steve, I'm kind of envious and jealous that what you're doing is so great. Instead, they're nasty, right? So our job is not to make other people not envious or jealous, but to deal with our reactions to their reactions to our success. I had it my whole life since on the field hockey team. I've had it my whole life. People having reactions to my success.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. Well, before we go, is there any missing piece? Is there anything that you know that listeners need to hear?
I would say that a lot of business listeners still aren't totally on board with the emotional side and the belief side. And all I can say is in decades of working in this field on myself and on clients from 20 different countries, it's the emotions and the beliefs. And if you can tap into those and get in there, things will change and they'll change permanently. So don't just have the left brain and the business and this is the best coaching program and this is the next thing to do that entrepreneurs are doing. Get your feelings on board, get your beliefs on board, and start making the shifts there.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, one more thing, because we left it at the beginning. I'd like you to share a success story, whether it was slow or fast or whatever, just so that people can see what's possible.
It's the beliefs. Tapping with people. Tapping. So I'm trying to think of which one. I have so many. It's like, which one?
Of course.
Someone changed their business entirely. And she said it was a result of the tapping. Reducing the fears, right? Changing her fear of success and being okay being visible. And her business went, I don't remember the numbers, but from very low to, you know, exponential. So I've seen that with women. I've seen it with men. I've seen it in business. I've seen it in relationships. So the success stories are literally so many. You know, I would have a hard time. I'm a success story. So yeah. I'm a financial success story and I'm a health success story. Because when I ran myself into the ground, I wasn't as successful as I could be, but also I was exhausted and stressed out and burned out because I thought working harder was better. And I had to change that. So colleagues, friends, coaches, business people, you know, they change the beliefs, move the beliefs, shift them around, reduce your fear and stress, and kaboom, right?
Yeah, understood. Okay, for real, last thing. As we pick up your book, what are the expectations? What are we going to see?
You're going to see, so a little bit of my story, which is new. I didn't used to tell my story and what I came from. The situation, what's going to happen if you don't change your sabotage behavior? So the YES code, transforming sabotage into success. Well, one, you've got to know what your behaviors are, sabotage behaviors. You've got to ask the right questions about being stuck and reaching your goals. And then you've got to do the tapping work to shift. You have to do the tapping work. You can't just read about it. You actually have to do it. And I have videos, 9 videos on the portal. There's a QR code. You can go right to go to the portal. So you're going to be taught. I lead you through what the major blocks are to getting out of your own way and clean them up. Let's clean up the blocks, clean out the road, all the road bumps, and move forward.
Oh, that's perfect. All right. I love it. We'll wrap it up with that. Kara, I really appreciate your time. Like I said from the start, I think the mindset and this and the self-care piece is huge. You know, you talk about and you see corporate burnout and people creating excuse, like people will fail purposely because they're overwhelmed. And if we are more proactive, we get to be more successful. So, yeah. Anyways, really appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Steve. A pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, you as well. All right. Take care.